I had my Bible turned to Ezekiel, and we're going to be looking into 1 Kings chapter 2 this morning. Happy Father's Day again. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 4. Nancy mentioned about an incident here. Friday afternoon after I got home, kind of did some stuff out in the yard, try to get caught up a little bit. And then I wanted to come to the church and bring some of my stuff back and check my notes and so forth that Carol had left me. Well, I left at the wrong time. Well, I left at a good time, but the time I got to Versailles State Park, it got bad. It got rough. So coming by the entrance of the state park and on around the corner, past the bridge, a tree fell in front of me. And I didn't have time to stop, and I went over it. And so I kind of went airborne. And I need to tell my mother I'm okay, because she is listening to me, and I haven't told her yet. So, mother, I'm okay. I'm all right. Still got all my limbs, but I took some off that tree and leaves and everything else. But blew my tire out, and I got some other problems going on with the car. So, got to get it checked out. But my neck's a little sore, but other than that, I'm great. I'm here. That's a praise report, okay?
Yes.
Brenda said she just glad it didn't fall on the car when I went through.
Yes. Probably wouldn't hurt me anyway,
because she says I got a hard head anyway, so just a sore neck. All right, let's get started into our message today. And we're looking again, as I said, from 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. So as we look, and there's some other scriptures there for you to look up that go along with this. And this morning, as Nancy was giving the Father's Day celebration presentation, she mentioned some verses and things in her state presentation about being courageous. And that was some of our themes this past week at church camp. Hallelujah, you know, being strong and being courageous and so forth. And our key verse for camp was 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7, where it says, "Be strong, courageous, for your hard work will be rewarded." So here today, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 2, and David is passing along to his son to be strong and be courageous. And Solomon, he was a great leader with wisdom and so forth. So as we look at our text today, and as I spoke to the kids this week, I gave them several examples and words to remember. I shared a passage of scriptures on David being the king and facing the giants in his life, which was Goliath, 9-foot Goliath. And I gave them different words for the scriptures that I used to be strong and courageous and trust and preparation and the victory that comes through Christ Jesus. So in this text today, as this is Father's Day, I want us to be strong and be courageous and make preparation, and we'll have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we look at this text, I'll read it as we get down to the points of this message, but the final words of a father to a son are extremely significant, especially when a transfer of divine purpose and responsibilities are involved. You see that all the way through the Old Testament, where Elijah passed down to Elisha and so on, and Paul as he mentored Timothy, and other places in the Bible, and as Jesus taught the disciples to be strong and courageous and have boldness in the presentations of the gospel. So we see that, and we are to have that same type of encouragement today, not only as fathers, but as parents and people and Christians in the church. So David became a real man because he was a man after God's own heart, and he sought after God, and God recognized that, and that's why God said, David is a man after my own heart. We men and we as Christians should be people after God's heart, own heart. That means that we want to think and act and do things obediently and faithfully unto the Lord. That means walking with Him daily within our lives, because that's very important that we do that. Now, let's look how David instructed Solomon to keep the word of the Lord. He instructed him. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy, and other areas instructed. He instructed the church and so forth. So the instructions that we get from the Word of God is for our own good. And as I expressed to the children this week, and many of them were young and unlearned about scriptures and about church and so forth, and I stressed every message for them to find someone that they can go to church with if their parents don't take them, or encourage their parents when they get back to get involved in church, because in our generations today we see more and more children come into church that probably over half are not involved in church at all, 60% I would say. So it's important that we, as fathers, the ones that are not here today and those that are not church, that they get this type of message, that they understand they have an awesome responsibility. We all have a responsibility. And we told your children this week, you know, that's why we're here. We're volunteering God's time, because He is working through us to instruct you and sow seed and hope it'll take root in your heart, so that one of these days you'll understand that God wants to be in your life. He wants to help you make good and right decisions, growing up, and then after you get out of school and get a job and have a family and so forth like that. God wants to be in every area of your life, and He wants to be in every area of our life as an adult as well. So we need to take heed to the examples that are given to us by the Word of God. It is so important that we read and reread scriptures pertaining to our daily walk, walking in the newness of life, according to Romans 6, verse 4. So as we look at the scriptures this morning, first of all, we're going to see, a father fulfills his responsibility. You know, fathers have an awesome responsibility. God placed a lot of responsibility on Adam when He created him, and He was responsible for Eve. He was responsible for Cain and Abel, and on down the other children that they had later on. And things didn't go right at the very beginning because he wasn't obedient, completely obedient to God, and therefore sin there in the garden was cast out. And therefore, when Cain killed Abel, then we see that sin entered the world even more, as we see things like that that happened years and centuries way back. And then we deal with those things today in our daily life. So here we see David, who had been reigning a joint, I would say regent or ruler with son Samuel, is ready to step down as a king because he is in the latter part of his years. And he realized that he needs to pass along good instructions to Samuel so that Samuel too will make good and the right decision. So in verse 1, David is now placing his legacy fully into the hands of Solomon, his son. So look at verse 1. As David says, as David's time to die grew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. So, but he charged, he made a charge. Timothy was charged by Paul, and all through the scriptures we see Joshua made charges, and Moses, and Abraham, and so forth, because they was instructed by God to pass on the instructions that they received directly from God. See, we receive information directly from God. We don't receive it audibly unless you, if you have, bless you. But I haven't, but I do receive instruction from God every day of my life, because I want to listen to Him and I want to know what He wants me to do on a daily basis. Now, that don't mean that I do that, because sometimes, you know, I don't always understand. I got to keep listening and I keep reading. And finally, yeah, it clicks. Yeah, this is what I should be doing. And this is what I want to do. So, in the closing days of David's life, he wanted to leave his son Solomon words of wisdom. And of course, we know that Solomon, that's what he prayed for. God offered him anything he wanted, and he selected which was the best choice. If we select wisdom for our lives to be able to understand and know God's leading in our life, we will make the right decisions in life. So in the Bible, a person's dying words are especially significant. I don't know how many people over the years, as I stand beside their bed in the hospital or in homes, they know they're dying and they know their time's right. You know, first of all, they want to make things right with God. And that's what we need to do. We need to be ready and prepared, but we need to make things right with God. And then they share other things that they want the family to remember and instruct the family to do and so forth. And some have regrets, and some of them say, I just praise God for the long life He has given me. So that's what David is doing here. The setting, therefore, calls the readers and the listeners to give particular attention to these verses. So, King David charged his son with the solemn authority of dying father is nothing to that of living for God. And there are great trusts which are charged with by our Heavenly Father in verse 3. So let us keep them carefully as those who must give an account according to His excellent statutes, which are given as a guide for our life. They're a guide. The Ten Commandments was given as a guide, the things to look out for, the things to practice, the things to do to safeguard their life, and to give them instructions to in obedience to God. So the instructions we are given here in God's Word are very precious, and we need to take them to heart. So David finishes his life strong by placing on his son Solomon responsibility about becoming a man of God, beginning right here in verse 2, which says, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong. There's that word. Be strong and be courageous, therefore, and show yourself a man. Now, height, stature, strongness physically does not make you a man. Now, the Hebrew people thought it did because they saw Saul as a great king because he was tall, a head taller than anybody else. He's handsome, and he had all the qualities of a king, but he really didn't have the characteristics of a man at that time to lead a nation under God. And therefore, that's why God removed him from the throne and gave it to David, because his heart wasn't completely committed to God. So, and then it says, I want to emphasize this, to go the way of all the earth. It's a picture, a description of death. Again, to go the way of the earth. That's what David is saying. So David was a man who accepted his responsibility. Now, David wasn't a perfect man, but he strived to be. And that's when he said he's a man after God's own heart. He strived to do that. And God blessed him and honored him in the decisions that he made for the nation and his life itself as he was obedient to the Lord. He knew that he would soon die, so he made plans, which included counseling his successor as his responsibility, and that was Solomon. He wanted to counsel him. He wanted to instruct him. He wanted to give him good instruction so that Solomon would not make the mistakes that he made in the past, but he redirected his life towards God, and he wanted Solomon to do the same thing. Now, death is a way. Death is a way not only to the end of life, but a passage better than life. And that is eternal life. David knew that. He knew he was going to be in the presence of the Lord soon. If you asked David, would you have changed anything in your life? I'm sure he would have. But God forgave him, and he moved on and very successful as a king. So it's the way of the earth. All mankind who dwell on earth are themselves made from the earth. And then we go back to the earth. And therefore, their flesh must return to the earth. Now, oftentimes you hear ashes, ashes, dust to dust. And we were created from the dust of the earth, or the earth itself, as God created all of that before he created man. And therefore we go back. But our spirit goes to be with the Lord. So our body is laid to rest, but our spirit goes on to be with the Lord. Now, even the sons and their heirs of heaven must go the way of all the earth. Everyone will. Everyone. And that means that every person ever lived upon this earth will die eventually. But we walk with anticipation on this way through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's in Psalms 23:4. Everyone will go through the valley of the shadow of death. That means there's hardships, there's suffering in this life. And that's why David mentions that in Psalms 23, one of the great chapters in the book, in the old or the new. Because he was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And on and on and on, as David said, he comes through, but I must go through the valley of the shadow of death in my life. And believe me, he did. He went through the valley of the shadow of death. The circumstances in life that moved him in that direction. But he overcome that by the grace of God. And so will you and I also, as we go through the valley of shadow of death, of hardship. And the Hebrew word for that is Baca. And that means the shadow of death. Our life is leading in that direction. And as we go in that direction, David is telling Solomon, you know, you're going to suffer through some hardships and everything in life. But he is telling Solomon to be strong, be courageous, accept your responsibilities, and carry those responsibilities out. Don't look back behind you and with regrets and so forth, because you can't change them, can you? You got to move forward and look to God that he will change you as you are dependent upon him and trust him and read his word and believe his word, and he will get you through the valleys of the shadows of death. God is not our guarantee through those, but he is our guarantee as we go through. He's not our guarantee against those things, because they will happen, but he's our guarantee that he will be with us and get us through those days of the valleys of the shadows of death, just as Solomon did himself. Now, Solomon didn't always make the right decisions, did he? Even though he had wisdom. Now, you think somebody that had all wisdom and the smartest man in the world would not be making any mistakes or any errors. But he did. You know why? Because he did things his way instead of God's way. So if we do things God's way, then we will use God's wisdom. We will have the knowledge of God and his word, and therefore it will direct our heart to make the right decisions, right? So that's what David is passing along. Okay, let's, there it is. Challenge his son Solomon to become a man. Now, let's look at verse 2b. It says, be strong. There's that word again. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Now, so Solomon needed to stand firm. Stand firm. Don't look left. Don't look right. But stand firm where you are and keep your eyes on Christ. Use that wisdom that God gave you, that you asked for. That's what he's telling him in here. In support of right and against the wrong that he would face. And Solomon did. He had to make a lot of decisions. He had to counsel a lot of people and make right decisions on their behalf so that they too would believe in the Almighty God. So what he needed was true strength from God. Strength that only God could give. And that's why Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, again, using this word, be strong. But Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You know, Paul, you know, these New Testament disciples and apostles, they read much. And that's all they had at that time. They read from the Old Testament, and therefore they knew what the Old Testament was saying about being courageous and being strong and stand firm and keep your eyes on the, the Heavenly Father, because that's what gets you through life. Because we'll face many, many challenges. It doesn't matter if in work, in school, or at home, or whatever we're doing, we need that firm strength. And I encouraged the children this past week, you know, when you need help and you don't know who to go to, God will hear your plea. You know, He will listen to you. And I use Mark chapter 10, where Jesus says, "Do not hinder or keep back the children to come unto me. Such is the kingdom of God." So therefore, God loves children. And I let them know God loves them. I love you. Everybody here that's leading you this week, love you. And we want the best for you. And God wants the best for you. So as we look at the word prove or show yourself a man, literally means become a man. That's what it means. Prove. Prove. Prove through your relationship with Jesus Christ that you trust Him and you're going to be obedient to Him. And therefore, that's how you become a strong man of God. There's nothing better than a father or a man to trust in the Lord God Almighty and not try to make decisions or do things on his own, but follow the commands and the guides of God and the Word, and the Holy Spirit will direct you in that way. Okay, let's look at verse 3. It says, verse 3 teaches how Solomon was to grow in strength and to show himself a man. So in verse 3 it says, the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His ordinance, His testimonies, according to what is written by the law of Moses. Okay, the law of Moses is talking about the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. And then he's also talking about the laws of the Ten Commandments that were given. If you would keep those intact and they were to write them on their foreheads, their arms, wherever, so it would be a reminder to them that that's was what was to guide them through life. So all God's requirements have been written down for us. All we got to do is look at them, read them, and guess what? If we can get them up here and allow them to get to the heart, that's when we put them into practice. From the heart. We can't put them in practice from the head because they're still there. They have to go to the heart. God works with the heart on everything. Okay, 3. Let's relay responsibility and rewards. Okay, in verse 3 and 4. See, David conveys at the end of verse 3 and 4 two incredible possible vital benefits that will result from his son's obedience. See, he was striving for obedience. And David, let me tell you, he learned them the hard way. And now he would say, hey, you know, I want to pass this on to you so you don't make the same mistakes I do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. So in verse 4, it says, so that the Lord may carry out his promises which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth, with all of their heart and with all of their soul, and I want to say with all of mine too, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel, because he was going to be the king. He was going to be the high authority. He was going to be under the main leadership of God Almighty. You see, I'm an under shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. I am the shepherd of my flock, you. But I'm the under shepherd of the true shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I answer to him. And I trembled back when I first surrendered to become a pastor and enter the ministry of the responsibility and my own self not, you know, feeling adequate or equipped enough to be a leader under God's instruction. But he wouldn't leave me alone, so I said, yes, Lord, but I can't do it alone. You're going to have to work through me. And he has all of these years. When we surrender completely to him and yield our spirit to him on a daily basis, then he takes over from there, and he takes us through our journey through life, and he will help us, protect us, and show us the right way to go. Now, the first thing here, after I read the scripture here, the first blessing or benefit is personal and kingdom. And I'm going to call this the church national, because it's worldwide. It consumes the whole universe of what David is talking about. It's talking about prosperity right here. So Solomon's personal obedience would result in a personal success only if he depended upon God and followed his commandments and his precepts and all of those things that God gave him responsibility for. So the advice that David gave his son Solomon was what leads to a successful life and a successful career in God's eyes. In God's eyes. It's not man's eyes, but God's eyes, if we follow his. So it's the way to prosper in all you do, to succeed with integrity and satisfaction in every undertaking which you turn your attention, and that attention has to be to God. See, God prospers both our soul and our hands as we obey his word. He does that. He prospers us. Okay, the second thing, and I see this in verse 4. I'm almost done, okay? I have so much I want to share with you this morning pertaining to this scripture. Second, verse 4. Obedience will ensure God's ongoing fulfillment of God's promises made to David's legacy and his dependents. See, it's a carry on, and we are to carry it on as fathers and parents and so forth to our children. Now, all the promises made in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and if you have time today, read that. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 17. I don't have time to read it there. Would be fulfilled. It would be fulfilled according to 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 through 17, including the eternal nature of David's kingdom and forever occupy the throne of Israel, because God ordained it from the very beginning, starting with Abraham. Okay? So whatever God promises, God fulfills, and he carries it out through men and great leaders who will be obedient and faithful to him. So the condition is that we walk before God by keeping his word with zeal and resolution. So if we do, we will have the promise of success in all the attempts that, and we'll have Christ's direction as we lead, or as he leads our life, our families, our church, and his service, and I want to include our nation. We need godly men leading our nation. We do. In order to have that, our responsibility as believers and Christians is to do what? Pray for them. Because 2 Timothy chapter 2 says that we are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for the high authorities who make decisions. It says we are to pray for kings and so forth. Those that's placed in leadership, the ones that we as a people put in the office, they're put on in there to fulfill their responsibility, but their responsibility comes under the leadership of the Heavenly Father. And if they don't go to the Heavenly Father and they lead on their own, then they're not fulfilling their responsibility that God has placed upon their life. All right. There's so much I want to share with you this morning. Let's go to the conclusion, though. To prove yourself a man in God's eye means following God's ways. And those that would keep the charge of the Lord, their God, to become a real man must put their life in God's capable hands and ask Him to make them strong by His power and enablement. See, God, He has the power and He has enablement. We just need to connect to it, right? We need just to carry it out. And David found his wisdom and strength and blessing in obeying God's word. And he wanted his son Solomon to do the same. And he was urging and pleading with him. And that's what we should do as fathers and as parents. Plead with our own children, our next generation, grandkids, and on down the road, in order for them to have a successful life in the Lord. All right. You can be strong man of God only by ordering your life by God's commandments. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Are you willing to do that if you're not? Well, God can help you, and He will. We just got to go to Him and say, Lord, I need your help. I called on the Lord all week long. Lord, I need your help. I need the right words to share with these children so they will understand their role in life and your purpose for them and your will for them in life. And you know what? God gave me the words. I know they were from Him. Because those children were so attentive. They were so attentive. And I thank God for that too. And I told them, when you leave this camp on Friday morning, take what you have learned, take it home, share it, and take Jesus with you to your home and share Him and what you've learned about Him this week. And then get in church and do something for the Lord. And I hope that would come true. I hope you pray with me that that will happen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, for the message that you have given us this day. Lord, help us to be faithful and carry out your word, because you give it to us for a reason, and sometimes we don't know what it is. But if we get into your word, read it, and your Holy Spirit helps us interpret it, and then we're well equipped to meet any obstacle or any situation that comes before us. If we start our day out with you, then our day will end much better. But if we don't start with you, it's not going to end up good at all. So we start our day with you and ask for your guidance and surrender our will to you. And Lord, I thank you for the fathers of this church and the men and everyone that's here today and those listening, that we will set that example, that we will make sure that we pass on the legacy that we have and that's been passed along to us. We have great godly people that has passed their wisdom on to us. And may we have applied as much as we can with your help through our years here on this earth to help others that follow us. Lord, during this invitation, Lord, you speak to our hearts and just tell us what we need to do to be right with you and do the things you command us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand, and we're going to be singing our closing hymn.